This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Welcome to Business Success Tips, where you learn everything you need to know to be successful in your own business. And if you don't have your own business and you're working for the man, we highly suggest you quit unless you love your job.
Sounds good. Sounds good, like good advice. We have a special guest today.
We do.
Well, who's here, first of all? There's me and you, obviously.
We're here, yeah, that's right.
That would be Sean and Paul. And we have a special guest who's flown in
from Germany for this program.
And boy, are his arms tired.
That's right.
Hey, it's Andreas. Hi.
Andreas, our poster child success person.
That's right.
He is. Because of Business Success Tips, he's actually here. He would be sitting in Germany complaining about the government.
That's what I told you in the car. Hey, Paul, if I hadn't met you and the guys from Business Success Tips, I would sit in Germany and cry about everything. Say, oh my God, it's all shit. But that's really true.
So now at least you have a lot of beer to cry in.
That's right. No. So now he's over here. He's living part-time in America, has a very cool apartment. Mm-hmm. His business in Germany is going well. He's doing big deals. He started a software company, which is MediaFunnel. And he's like this success poster child because of our wonderful advice. So that's what can happen if you listen to the show.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well,
that's true.
And how often are you here now in the U.S.?
I'm not here right now. That's right. So I'm here for 4 to 5 times a year.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
No, that's cool. The plan. No, we have a good apartment, so it's not that.
He's living in Marin, which is the highest income per capita county in the United States.
Mm-hmm. That is for sure.
Okay.
Well, we have two special guests this evening. And the second one's with us on Skype. We're finally doing our Skype thing again, which we used to do, Skype in guests. And so we are talking today. If you've been following previous episodes, you know that we're talking with some BST consulting candidates that we're talking about possibly doing an equity sort of stake, a 10% stake in their business in exchange for having them on the show on a regular basis and taking their business idea and helping them quit their day job or develop their business idea. And one of those candidates is a gentleman named Jay Tarpey, and he is in Taipei, Taiwan, and he has a outsourcing to China related business.
That really helps because he's in China. Hmm.
Which helps a lot. And so, Jay, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Well, welcome.
Roger, loud and clear.
Good, good. Well, welcome to BST. We're glad to have you.
So Jay, just for myself and our listeners, can you describe your business idea and give us your elevator pitch as you conceive of it now?
Okay.
Basically, and you only have like a minute or two, so let's not go too far.
Give us 30,000 foot.
Got it. 15 words. Basically, we're shooting to help small and medium-sized companies in the West source the products and services that they need out of China or Asia. So we act kind of as middlemen to save them the hassle and trouble and the costs associated with coming out to Asia and dealing with crooks and dealing with all of the pitfalls that come with doing business in Asia.
Now, is it highly corrupt? I mean, is that one of the issues that people face in terms of doing?
Maybe corrupt is the wrong word. Let's just say they have a different sense of values than we do.
I want to hear from Jay though. I mean, is that do people get screwed a lot?
It's kind of like you can say that they have a very special culture out here, and their culture kind of dictates that you share the wealth and that you try to make as many bucks as you can by skimping and cutting corners. Mm-hmm. So definitely, yeah. I mean, Taiwan is much more Western in that sense, but China and other places in Southeast Asia that I've been are definitely, that's a big problem, big issue.
And so the business ethics are a little different. I'm not saying they're wrong or right, it's like black or brown, but the business ethics are different in China than they might be in the United States.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. That actually, one of the reasons why we've kind of chosen to base out of Taiwan is because the Taiwanese business ethic is much more U.S. oriented. Like they have the same kind of mentality and thinking towards business. Whereas China, if I can say this without being too politically incorrect, but the Chinese business ethic is quite different. Yeah. Right.
So you can help people navigate channels and navigate these waters that are otherwise possibly treacherous. So what experience do you have? Tell us a little bit about your background that makes you good at this.
Okay. Well, I have a kind of a weird background. I actually was born
so do we, don't worry.
Yeah, right.
I was born in Southeast Asia. I was born in the Philippines, actually. My parents are both American. My dad was a Christian missionary. And I was born in the Philippines and grew up in a couple of different countries in Southeast Asia. And after finishing high school, I actually joined a non-denominational Christian volunteer group where I was in charge of fundraising. I spent about 4 years doing that in this part of the world where I developed a very vast network of businesses and business people who I dealt with and who supported our cause and stuff. And so last year, we had the idea to open a business that would kind of hook these people up with those who need their services in the West. So it's just brand new. It's about six months old now. And yeah, that's pretty much the background.
So what is your business model? How do you make money?
Well, it's still being worked on, I guess. But basically what we've thought up until this point is I have a group of about 15 different manufacturers, whether they're manufacturers or service providers. Some of them are very professional in their fields. 15 big-sized companies that are willing to cooperate with us and are personal friends. And they basically have given me the go-ahead to look for clients in the West, introduce them to them, and then in exchange for any business deal that gets worked out, we get a commission based on the total contract value.
So what is the commission schedule?
We haven't gotten that deep into it actually yet. I'm still kind of looking at setting up a website and ironing out details. I guess it's different for each. By commission schedule, you mean the amount?
I mean, is it 10%, 15%, 50%?
Yeah, it definitely depends on the industry. Like, for example, recently I've been working with some commodities, some miners actually in Southeast Asia doing coal and iron ore and things like that. And obviously for those type of big volume items, the commission is very small. It can be like 1 to 0.5%, but obviously the contract value is very huge. But then there's also, my brother here actually runs a publishing company. So he's got good connections in the printers and big printing businesses. And in that kind of industry, the margins might be a bit bigger, you know, 10, 15%. IT might be around 8 to 10%. You know, it just depends on the industry.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. Now, one question I would ask, if you decide to focus on any industry, whether it's printing or coal or IT or anything like that?
Well, at this present time, actually the commodities business is a little different. That's acting more as a broker between Southeast Asian mines and Chinese-based utility companies. But as far as the sourcing business to the West goes, so far we've mainly been involved in IT and as well as different publishing type industries, whether it's CD-ROMs, DVDs, books, and then IT anywhere from making the latest netbook computer to, you know, anything that needs to be done. But actually, our 10 or 15 partners are in a very diverse field of businesses.
I have an sort of out of band question here, Jay, just jumping back, and only because this has been somewhat in the news in the past week. Some people are starting to say that the Chinese expansion is not sustainable and that they're heading for a massive crash. I don't know if you guys have been hearing this. Do you give that any stock? Are you concerned about that?
Well, I guess in some ways that could be true because of all the development that they're expanding all of their apartment buildings and business parks and things like that. But I think when it comes to manufacturing, there's not really anywhere else in the world that can manufacture with a cost price point and the volume that China can at this
point.
Well,
if that's true, Nike's in trouble. I mean,
right.
When you look at the amount of stuff that's manufactured in China, if it is truly a problem, his little piece of it is not really significant.
Right. I was actually reading.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say that I was reading yesterday that if Walmart was a country, it would be China's eighth largest trading partner, which is pretty interesting. Like, it's just ridiculous how many things are made in the U.S.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I mean, sorry, at China.
Yeah. But I think that, well, you know, it's a domino effect potential where, we're shrinking back. We're cutting back, and we're not requesting as much manufacturing. And so it's like, is China sort of living high on the hog based on the expectations?
Well, this is going to be a Siskel and Ebert thing, because I think it's not relevant in his business. Because if that, it's sort of like if you're starting a construction business and going, well, the gross national product is down. It doesn't matter. Your business is so small and so teeny.
What you need to be that it doesn't sustain yourself.
It doesn't. His market share is 100 millionth of market, so it doesn't matter.
Right. So you don't foresee any shortage of clients anytime in the near future.
No. I mean, I think. And then, what are your goals as far as what do you see that you're gonna, you know, your gross revenue? You know, what's your vision?
Well, honestly, I'm still working on the business plan. I should have that done in about a week or so. So I haven't fully compiled the
But what's your forget cost. The what is your vision? The vision is not a business plan.
Okay.
Vision.
Well, basically my vision is to set up a company that will give, like I said, the Western-based people interested in getting things made a direct connection to manufacturers who will manufacture in a way that's socially and environmentally responsible. That was a big issue for a big part of the vision for me was to actually hook people up with manufacturers that they can actually stand behind and say, okay, we're proud of how we're getting our work done, how we're getting our things manufactured, because they're not abusing their workers, they're not abusing the environment, and they're
the fair trade thing, right?
Yeah, and not to go overboard on it, like, you know, but still to keep that as part of one of our main missions.
Well, but now the vision, are you talking $100 million? I mean, is it a rocket ship or is it a boat? Is it a car? I mean, is this a $50 million company? Is it $1 million company? It is like a little consulting business you're running out of your garage?
Well, I'd be happy to if it was like revenues of $1 or $2 million after a couple of years. I'm not shooting for anything too huge. I have a couple of other different projects that I'm working on as well at the same time, like a nonprofit organization and stuff like that. But of course, you know, the bigger the better. And I guess
I'm just thinking that the most important thing that drives any business is the vision in the owner. Mm. I mean, if you go to pitching our site, Dream Business Coaching.
Actually, before you pitch, we're going to take a quick break right here for a commercial insert, and then we will be back with Jay Tarpey on Business Success Tips. Thanks, everyone. And we are back. We're talking with Jay Tarpey about China outsourcing.
Right, and his business. Well, if you go download, you know, the videos that I've done on Dream Business Coaching, the first one is about where your business is created, and the first place is in your mind. So unless you have a clear vision in your mind, like you say, well, it's going to sort of big, maybe $1 million, maybe $3 million. That's why I suggest, you know, the book you call The Answer, because they said, you know, you need to say, I'm going to have $1 million business at the end of the first year. It's going to gross, you know, $1 million. I'm going to net $150,000. I'm going to have 5 customers. Because when you're sort of requesting from the universe what you want, it's very difficult for her to perform unless you're very clear about what you want.
Yeah. I reckon that's for her.
And so this is very clear about what you want. And And my sense is you're not very clear about what you want. You certainly aren't as Lisa, passionate.
The universe has a name and it's Lisa.
That's right. And you need to be very clear about what you want. You need to be very specific and especially passionate, because businesses are built on emotion, not intellect. So unless you're like willing, I say to die for, but something where you're just, this is driven. I mean, when we've started a business, which is Media Funnel, the reason most businesses I have started haven't succeeded to the extent they could have is there was no driving force. There was nobody who lived, ate, breathed passionately the business. Now, Media Funnel fortunately now has Andreas, which is either to do this or die trying, which is what it takes. Now,
this is the Twitter business that Paul and Steve and Andreas started together,
and,
which
and,
is
you know,
tweet funnel.
Media Funnel. Media,
oh, sorry,
change
it. That's right.
It's now MediaFunnel.com. And, you know, we have whatever it is, 20,000 users. But, I mean, he's passionate about it. So whatever vision you need to get totally emotionally passionate about, it really helps to succeed. If you go, well, I'm going to sort of start this business, and I'm also going to do my church thing, and then I'm going to do a couple of things on the side. That is not good. That has been my personal errand starting
businesses.
I can
speak from experience on that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
And so whatever it takes you to get, I'm either going to do this thing or die trying. I call it the ant philosophy. Now, if an ant is going from point A to point B, if it runs into a obstacle, i.e. a tree or a rock, what does it do?
Climbs up it.
Okay. If it can't climb up it, what does it do?
Go around it.
If it, yeah. Very good. If it can't go around it, what does it do?
I'm stuck. I don't know.
Okay. It keeps trying or dies. It never, ever gives up. And I have seen very few businesses that have ever succeeded without that level of commitment and passion from the creator. I don't say time. You can do this in 30 hours a week. It doesn't have to be 60 or 70. But without that emotional commitment, you don't attract the resources you need to pull it off. Does that make sense?
Interesting. Yeah, sure.
Because what happens is, we talked about, and the answer talks about, the reticular activating system, which allows your conscious mind to get things in its brain. So you only allow, 2% of what your senses pick up to actually enter your conscious. And that is controlled by your reticular activating system, which is your set point. So for example, if you're thinking about this as, well, it's sort of a business hobby I'm interested in, you're at a party, and someone says, I would like to change where Walmart gets its products, you're not going to hear it because your brain isn't even there. But if somebody says, yeah, a friend of mine's, manufacturing, Goo Goo dolls, and she does 20 a year, I hear that. Because you're going to let into your brain what your vision sees. That makes sense?
It's, yeah, you buy a red car, you see red cars everywhere.
Right. So if you
as do cops.
So if you have this incredibly clear and passionate vision and you spend a lot of time on the vision, screw the business plan, it's the vision, that's my opinion. That you say, I'm gonna build whatever it is. I'm gonna be the leading importer, I'm gonna help small businesses, I'm gonna be green, I'm gonna stop, 8-year-old kids from manufacturing tennis shoes and getting 2 cents a day. Whatever it is for you. And I assume because you come from a Christian background that you're Christian. Is that a fair assumption? I mean, that's
a pretty fair assumption, yeah.
That's a leap on my part, but, I had to go there.
However does he do it.
That's right. I had to leap for that one. So there's a certain Christian value system that you've bought from Jesus or somebody, right? That you think, that you hold to be true. And I'm assuming you're basing your business on those values, right?
Certainly, the capitalistic type.
Right, which is a good thing. A good
ethical capitalism.
A good capitalistic Christian. Hallelujah, yeah. Right? So my thought is that if those values tie in your business about, not extorting, labor, not treating people fairly, and all those, Christian values, and you believe that you can do that and help small businesses get products better and cheaper than they can by, some form of extortion than they may use someplace else, that has to drive it. And then people will pick up on that when you're on the phone. And they'll say, here's a really square guy that believes in what he's doing. I can trust him to get my tennis shoes or glasses or publishing done in China, and I'm not going to get screwed. And that's going to come across in your voice and in your manner and in your follow-up. And that's why people are going to do business with you.
And that is something that they would want in this situation too, because they're going to be seeking that. They're going to be seeking somebody to sort of mitigate the risk of dealing in a foreign market.
Trust is the biggest issue.
Yeah. Yeah. And that really is what you need. And I have to say, you come across that way. You're very well spoken, very intelligent, and you have... Yeah, no, and
I'm glad he's a Christian. That's a good thing.
Christian, Buddhist, or whatever, it doesn't really matter to me.
But
I think you convey that part of the brand and personally, and you're the ambassador for your brand, so that's important. I think that you have a lot going for you there, and you have the passion for what you're doing. So I'd like to segue. We're about out of time here, so I'd like to just segue real quickly to moving forward Jay from here.
Jay, what I would like you to do. Is if you were paying me big bucks to give you advice, this is advice I would give you.
Okay.
Pretend like you're paying me $500 an hour to hear this. I know that's hard to believe, but people actually do that.
I'm sure.
That You need a passionate vision. I mean, I would read The Answer because it's really good at how to create a vision.
Yeah, it's
an excellent book on how to do that. And it gives you a lot of other stuff that's useful. But read the chapter on how to sort of program your subconscious. And come up with a vision that you write down. It doesn't have to be more than, 100 words. That you are incredibly passionate about. That you are emotionally behind. And that you are willing to, to give up everything, so to speak, as far as convenience or, when you call it the ease of your life, and you're willing to go through whatever inconvenience is necessary to make that happen.
And so that's like, go for that rather than the business plan.
Yeah, that's much more important than the business plan.
I think that it's definitely the place to start. A business plan eventually becomes very handy and useful. So I don't think it's in lieu of a business plan, but I agree with Paul that it's like it's a vision document. And I think that starting there is important, and it should be a one pager. And I think your business plan should be a one pager, two at the most.
Right. And the other thing is, the cool thing about this vision is you've already written copy for your website. Because that vision is something you want to put out to the world and that you believe in your heart, and people are going to read it and get it. So it's like when you have the About Us on your website, it's done.
Okay. By the way, can I give you the link to my very rudimentary website?
Certainly.
Very basic. We're still looking.
You're giving it to the world at large too. So yeah, go ahead.
Okay. It's www.goldenkeypacific.com. G-O-L-D-E-N. Key Pacific, PACIFIC.com.
All right. Well, we're gonna check that out, and we're gonna put that on the episode notes too. But we'll look at that. What I would like to do, Jay, is follow up with you on the next episode. It's been good to meet you in this episode. We have a number of other guests we're gonna bring on other episodes that we're recording tonight because we actually don't record.
That's not true. We do it a week at a time.
Right? Okay. Well, anyway,
see you next week. Right?
Yeah, we're gonna jump into next. We're gonna jump into the future in about 5 seconds here. I hate to be the
No.
But anyway, we'd like to have you back and check in with you on a monthly basis.
Sure.
And we'll continue the conversation about, the equity and all that. We want to help you with your business. We want to do some, live sort of business jam sessions.
So email us the vision. All right?
We'll do.
And read the answer on how to do it.
I have other resources I haven't gotten into yet. Today, but I have written some of these things down.
Cool. And what I would like to do is each month that we talk with you, we can focus on a different aspect of the business, whether it's website or marketing or social media or vision or the business plan or challenges you're having in running it or whatever. We can kind of, that would be the idea, I think. Because every aspect of your business is an example of things that other people are going to be facing in their own as well. So
for all the listeners out there that are trying to apply this to their particular business, read the answer and start with a vision.
Yeah.
Unless you have a vision you're absolutely passionate about, you don't have to matter. Go to the second part.
Because you're already carrying the vision around in your head, but you need to put it down. And in doing that and codifying it, you as the listener, whoever, Jay, everybody who's listening, what you're doing is solidifying it. You're forcing yourself to think it through completely, and you're creating energy. And that energy will then drive you forward. And like Paul said, it attracts things from happen to you, but it also does write your marketing copy for you, so when you go to do it, you'll already have it done. That's all the time we have for this episode, Jay. It was a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you.
Glad to have been able to get on.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we'll look forward to having you back next month, and we'll look forward to getting that email, and we'll share that in the next episode.
Good night.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
And there it is, another episode of Business Success Tips. Thanks as always for joining us. You can check out our website online at businesssuccesstips.org. Send us an email at friends@businesssuccesstips.org. Or if you're a Twitter stalker, find us at twitter.com/BST podcast. Thanks. We'll see you next time.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.
Hey, this is Sean Daly, host of Green Talk Radio. Green Talk helps you navigate the maze of green and eco products on the market today and make smarter lifestyle choices at home and at work through informative and entertaining interviews with industry authors and experts, as well as executives from innovative companies around the world. Find Green Talk Radio on iTunes or at personallifemedia.com. Green Talk Radio, environmental stewardship through smart consumption.